Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, Wham Lu. Look, the season is still indefinitely postponed. And so, you know, there are not that much necessarily actively to talk about, especially since most of it is kind of depressing. So I decided to get Alex Wong on the podcast to cover the top 10 games of this season. Whether that gets continued or not, we'll see. But there's always already been a lot of very, very good games. So, Alex, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, who canceled during the pandemic that you had to bring me on?
The NBA canceled, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is where we're at. So, a couple things here. The top 10, I made this list. I wanted Alex to come up with the 10, and then I was going to come up with 10, and then we were going to average it out. But Alex said that's too much work, so.
Okay, I didn't know. We're giving giving the listeners the how the sausage is made process here.
No, this is run it back in reverse. Run it back is completely you're calling the show. You're writing the script, and I just show up. You're like Kyle or Pascal.
I didn't know I was walking into a slander pod, man. I don't know you're missing it that much.
So yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, if people have issue with the list, all right, you got the beef has got to come to me, not to Alex. So. We're going to go from the best game to the 10th best game. And then also, honestly, just in the process of trying to get to 10, it was really difficult. I just made a Google Keep sheet with like the tick boxes and you can move up and down and stuff. And I was just collecting through all the wins. And originally I had 20 games that were in contention. So that's how good this season has been in terms of memorable moments. But number one on the list, I think this one's pretty obvious, but the 30-point comeback against the Dallas Mavericks. Raptors win 110-107. They were down 85-55. Alex, you were there with me. What was your mood? What were you thinking during this one-sided blowout at the time?
Yeah, no, I was ready to pack it up, maybe go home early. You know, they were down 30 points. And I think this was on a Sunday afternoon, if I have it correct. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing I definitely remember is the lineup that was on the floor in the fourth quarter. Mm. It was Kyle and four bench guys. And we're talking about deep bench guys. That's the last time we saw Malcolm Miller play.
Yo, that's your boy right there.
Yeah, shout out to Malcolm Miller. That's your boy too, man.
Yeah, that's right. That's my boy too. Yeah, actually. Represent.
Spoke out against the Chinese virus, you know?
Yeah.
We got that Malcolm Miller authentic jersey coming. But, I remember just that lineup that was out there. It was Kyle and four bench guys and the full court press – you know, pulled them all the way back.
Yeah, it was actually really funny to see. First off, okay, so 30-point comeback is the biggest comeback in franchise history, Raptors franchise history. It was the biggest comeback in the NBA for something like a decade plus. And so, but the thing is, so much of that 30-point comeback came so quickly because, as you mentioned, that full court press, the Mavericks just didn't have a good answer to it. Like, so in that game, the Mavs didn't have Luka Doncic. And so, obviously, he's their primary ball handler. And I don't think it would work as well with a very capable, very tall ball handler. But because they didn't have one, and because the Raptors basically had nothing else, they decided to just blitz the hell out of them. And they went on a 28-8 run over the next 5 minutes after going down 30. So, immediately, it went from a 30-point game to a 10-point game. And my thing with this game is just, I remember the crowd, man. The crowd was amazing. Like, nobody left. Nobody left, and people were cheering, like, not necessarily in reaction to the comeback. They were cheering to spur the comeback. That was great. Kyle Lowry, I thought, honestly, I wrote at the time in 10 Things that this was Kyle Lowry's finest performance that I've seen. And I honestly, you know, it's a little bit of hyperbole because I can think of a lot of other great ones. But also, it's on that level in terms of, like, this is an all-time classic Kyle Lowry game.
Oh, for sure. And I think it just speaks to everything that we always talk about, the things that we don't appreciate Kyle about, right? Like, you know, the defense and the fact that you can throw any four guys out there and Kyle's able to prop up those lineups. It's funny, I was looking at the box score, and you know, all the starters except for Kyle were like in the minus 20 range, mm-hmm. in the plus minus. And then obviously the bench guys, Boucher, Rondé, Malcolm Miller, and Terrence Davis were like plus 19, plus 29. Terrence Davis was a plus 31,
yep.
in 23 minutes. The other specific moment I remember too was Rondé hitting a free throw in the fourth quarter. I don't know if you remember this. Like, it bounced off the rim and it went in, and he gave like a Tiger Woods.
Oh yes,
like, uppercut fist pump. Like, that was such a great moment.
Like, he just made like a 50-foot putt. Like,
yeah. Well, shout out to Rondé, but for Rondé, a free throw is a 50-foot putt.
Oh, come on, no, that's a layup, man. That's a right-handed layup.
But yeah, that was a cool moment too. But you're right, man. Like, just thinking back to the crowd, I think. Just a general statement about the fans. I feel like there's just a lot of that championship energy, or whatever you want to call it, this season, and that this team really does like never say die. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to throw the fact, you know, you got to play 48 minutes and things like that. But like, the full court press was legit something during this season that had the fans really excited, because it worked more often than not.
Yep.
I guess the
yep.
one thing I was going to ask you about it is like, what, like, from what you've seen, like, from this season, like, what exactly are the Raptors doing with the press that's actually making it so hard for these NBA teams?
I think it's honestly just, the Raptors are prepared to press. So it's not even just, like, a panic but like move. Like, oh, we have no other options. Let's throw it out there and try. Because when you see teams press, it's pretty clear they haven't really practiced it. They're not really that attuned to doing it. And so they end up failing. You really need to be coordinated to press. And so, you know, I think Nick is just a guy who is just really, he thinks outside the box. Like, he does things that are different than other coaches, right? And you see, like, the way the Raptors play defense. Like, first off, the Raptors are just good defensively because they have very smart veteran leaders who can organize the defense. You know, you look at Kyle, Mark, pretty much everybody in the rotation is a good defender. They're all athletic. They can all, you know, they all know their assignments as well, too. So it's just, like, a really well-drilled team. But it's also just, like, Nick really throws in curveballs. Nick is like a Mark Burley type of coach.
Tim Wakefield.
Yeah, he's like a R.A. Dickey, all right? He's throwing that knuckleball at people. And full court press is like a basketball equivalent of a knuckleball. Like, you're not necessarily used to doing it. And that's why it's like so impressive that it did it with the third stringers, because look how good even the freaking third stringers were drilled at doing something like this. You know, the Mavs are a very well-coached team. And the Raptors just made them just basically piss their pants. It was an incredible display. Also, yeah, shout out Chris Boucher, man.
Shout out Chris Boucher. No NBA team should blow a 30-point lead in the second half.
No.
Is all I'm saying.
No. In the last 12 minutes of a game.
Yeah, no. An incredible win. Yeah, no, I think it deserves the number one spot for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Kyle with 32 points in that game. Boucher with the dunk to sort of seal it. Boucher also had like three block threes in that stretch. Shout out Chris Boucher for being like, per minute wise, like the best 3-point shot blocker in the NBA. It's really an incredible skill. The second win I have on this list, this one's tough because I think number one I thought was pretty clear just because like the historical aspect, everything like that. Number two was difficult because I had, ultimately I settled with the Raptors beating the Sixers. This is also at home. Also, you and I were there for it. But I also had the Celtics win and the Lakers win in contention here. Just for you, would you have put the Sixers on this list, number two?
I think I would have gone with the Celtics.
Okay.
Or even the Lakers ahead. And the only reasoning, I mean, we can do this a million ways, but my reasoning is just that I feel like the Celtics and Lakers are better teams.
Yeah, fair enough.
And you know, all three games, I think the common thread for those three games was obviously the Raptors were missing key players.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the Celtics win, I mean, you want to talk about the Celtics one first or you want to go with the Sixers?
I'm going to go with the Sixers just because okay. I had the number two. My reason for this game is that it's the one where you remember the most like tidbits about, right? Like first off, the situation, no Kyle Lowry, no Serge Ibaka, no Pat McCaw, may or may not have been a positive in this case. And also no Matt Thomas, you know, I had to throw that in there for us, you know.
No, I appreciate it.
So they were really shorthanded, and at the time, don't forget the Sixers were thought of at least in preseason, and this was a game in November, so it was close enough. Where the thought at the time was that the Sixers were actually going to be the best team in the East because they have four max contract players, right? Let's overlook the fact that all their max contract players are power forwards or centers, but you know. That's, you know, in the circumstances. And then, you know, I think the ending of that game was really great because you have Pascal coming up clutch, making a great play in terms of that going right against Al Horford. And then also blocking Simmons's pass to really seal it and then dunk it at the end. And then also you got Joel Embiid going scoreless. So there's just like a lot of things that like viscerally came to mind for me. When I thought about this game, I was really excited. Basically, yeah. whichever game I did a Snyder pod for, these are the top ones.
No, that's fair. And there's plenty to slander on this one. I mean, Embiid, obviously, the 0 for 11 performance. But, you know, you're right. Like, obviously, the Sixers got a lot of hype going into the season. And this was their first time coming back to Toronto, obviously.
Right.
You know, the game 7, it was like, okay, this is the time for them to make a statement. And you would expect them to maybe even just blow out this Raptors team, who didn't have a lot of their guys. And it just didn't happen. And, you know, this was a win where I think at least for me, I mean, it was early in the season. And I think the Raptors were still unbeaten at home at the time.
Yep.
Like that kind of gave a sense of, you know, what this Raptors team could be. And especially against the Sixers, it was one of those things where, okay, like the two teams are a lot different roster wise since they last met. But I would still very much give the Raptors an edge, you know, in any playoff matchup.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think the start of this game was Pascal, but obviously Mark's defense against Embiid was great. It also really showcased, this is during that stretch where the Raptors kept shutting down every number one option, right? Mm-hmm. Nick Nurse got a lot of praise at the time because he had to get really creative with his defense. But yeah, I watched back some of the highlights. They were really doubling Embiid a ton, really, really good at just sending help. The Sixers also have a lot of guys who can't shoot, so... it's a little easier to send help. And, you know, one of my favorite things about this is Embiid was struggling so bad that in the fourth quarter there was a technical foul called on the Raptors. And normally Embiid wouldn't shoot that free throw. But then they were like, you know what, Embiid? You have 0 points. Let's try to get you going with this free throw here. And he missed that technical free throw, too.
You forgot, too, the best moment was when I believe it was Terrence who fouled Josh Richardson on a three-pointer. And then Josh Richardson missed all three of his free throws.
Oh, that's right.
In the fourth quarter. And then the crowd, like, we've heard the fans louder, but I don't think for a regular season setting, like, that was like a rare moment. Yeah. That was one of the all time ball don't lie moments.
Actually, though. Yeah, that was that's a great call. And also, you know, Fred VanVleet was really good in this one, too, which is great because he had like 11 points total against the Sixers, I think, last year. I watched game seven again recently. And I was like, wow, Fred has been great here, and he had like four free throws. That's it.
Yeah, it's tough. Rondé had a good game too, but yeah, that was a really satisfying win, and obviously the iconic image of Pascal wrapping it up with that breakaway dunk. Right?
Yeah, exactly. No, it was. I think this is probably just the most slander worthy one, but the other two that we talked about, the Celtics and the Lakers, I had the Celtics number 3.
Okay.
This is Raptors 113-97. Blowout win in TD Garden. Again, no Pascal Siakam, no Matt Thomas, no Norman Powell, and no Marc Gasol. So you're short at least 3 starting caliber players, and then also Matt Thomas. I don't know why that sounded like slander. I'm sorry.
just leave them off if that's the type of things you're going to say, you know?
Sorry, you're missing 3 starting caliber players and the highest career 3-point percentage in the NBA.
That's correct. Yeah,
that's facts. So one of the reasons I put this on the list is not just that they beat the Celtics and not just that they avenged the loss on Christmas Day where the Raptors realistically got smacked up by the Celtics, but the Raptors faced a 32-17 disadvantage in foul calls. The Raptors got called for 32 fouls. The Celtics got called for 17. When have you ever seen a disparity like that? Tony Brothers calling the game, obviously, in TD Garden. You know, things are going to happen. The Celtics had twice as many free throws. And I think that, on top of the fact that the Raptors were so shorthanded and coming back to avenge a loss on the road, made this super satisfying. What was your what's your favorite memory from this game?
Yeah, no, you know, the foul, the discrepancy, that literally just always happens when the Raptors play in Boston.
Yeah.
Like Mark Wahlberg could trip Kyle like courtside and it'd be a jump ball. But what I remember from this a lot, actually, you know, I think Kyle came out of the gate and really set the tone.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he finished with 30 points. O'Shea Brissett, I think, had a really good run in this game.
He did.
He played 15 minutes. I think he came in and just grabbed like a bunch of boards.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this was like one of the better, maybe the probably the best Pat McCaw game.
Bro, listen, I went back to watch the highlights, all right? Yeah. So McCaw in this game ends with 18 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. So first off, almost a triple-double against the Celtics. The Celtics almost allowed Pat McCaw to have a triple-double. But midway through the third quarter, Matt Devlin said, Pat McCaw is having the game of his life after he had hit 12 points. What does that say about you?
I'm not gonna lie. I almost picked him up in my salary cap fantasy league after that game.
Oh my god!
It was it was a really satisfying win because Christmas Day was a real dud.
Yeah, it was.
I think everybody got obviously worked up because we finally got a game, mm-hmm. and then we were coming in shorthanded, and the Celtics just really took it to us.
Yeah,
Jalen Brown.
Yeah,
yeah. Having to see your sideburns and Jason Tatum's sideburns was not a not the way to open up Christmas Day.
Yeah, they're looking like yours. Watch it back. Alex is growing sideburns.
For the sideburns. Apparently, I look like Mike Shinoda now. Yeah, so, that was a satisfying win, and I feel like a lot of these fall into different categories. Like these, I love. This was my favorite type of win for the Raptors, like on the road, mm-hmm. shorthanded, beating a quality opponent. And then, we'll go through the rest of the list, but they've had so many of those this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And going back to the fouls thing. So O'Shea Brissett, I wanted to highlight him because obviously he doesn't have that many other moments this season. But on a two-way contract, comes in, he's grabbing huge offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter to keep the Raptors ahead. While also getting stops on Kemba Walker and forcing Jason Tatum into a shot clock violation. But the whole reason O'Shea Brissett was even in the game goes back to that foul thing. OG and Rondé were called for 12 combined fouls in 34 combined minutes.
Yeah.
12 fouls in 34 minutes. Ridiculous, man. 32-17 advantage. Also, big shout out to Jack Armstrong for basically just laughing at the officials during this during this shit show. Honestly, Tony Brothers, man, listen. I'm not even gonna say it. Never mind.
Just cool it, man. Try to have a job by the time this is all over.
Yeah. Just a great veteran official.
Yeah.
Who looks like a catfish.
Moving on.
So number four, the Lakers. This might be a little low because again, this is also one of those games with so many moments. No Kyle and no Serge. This was super late on the West Coast. Raptors had just suffered injuries to Kyle and Serge in that Pelicans game. That was the first game of that road trip. It looked like the Raptors were not going to be able to do anything because the Lakers also undefeated at home at the time. I don't think they've had that many home losses anyway. Like the Bucks went there recently and they lost. Some great moments in this game. What was your favorite thoughts on this game? Because I have many.
Yeah, I think Chris Boucher had a monster block in this one, right?
Yo, he blocked LeBron and AD.
Yeah, monster blocks. Terrence Davis hit a lot of big shots.
Mm-hmm. The whole Laker bench was like screaming at him in one of those corner threes, and he just nailed it.
Yeah, Matt Thomas with a 5-point play at the end of the first quarter.
Yep.
The context of this is like the Raptors had just beaten the Pelicans to start their road trip, but lost Kyle and Serge, right?
Yeah, at halftime.
And everyone was saying, oh, man, now they got to play the Lakers and the Clippers. And, this was the first, like, never underestimate the heart of a champion winner this season.
Mm. It wasn't the three times they beat Orlando in, like, a week.
Yo, honestly, man, I know I've been saying, like, man, I'm never going to take, like, sports for granted again. But if the first game back is Raptors Magic, I'm going to skip it. I'm going to skip it to shave my sideburns, all right?
Well, you're not trying to watch what Evan Fournier is saying?
Yeah, like, man. I was like, man, I'll never complain if it's Raptors Hornets again. No, I take that back.
No. I'll watch a Hornets game. Just not the last one the Raptors played against the Hornets.
No, but Boucher and Terrence Davis was what I remember because, like, we were still finding out. I mean, at that point, we were like, oh, man, like, Nick only has, like, six guys. Like, how are they going to make it through the whole season?
Nick was saying that.
But this was when some of the bench guys started to step up.
Yeah. No, this is the first game. Boucher, TD, and then Rondé is the guy you're leaving out, who had a really good 15-minute stint. He really came in and brought some energy. Boucher, Terrence Davis, and Rondé have been, like, a nice little trio all season. They've really done some things together. We mentioned them already earlier in the 30-point comeback. Yeah, this game is really weird. Okay, so a couple things. Like, A, Nick Nurse getting a ton of credit in this one because he plays this 2-3 zone for most of the game that keeps James and Anthony Davis out of the paint. It was just a really smart move. Lakers, you know, they correctly identified that a lot of the other Lakers just can't do that much, you know, and they're limited. And if you can just keep LeBron and AD from getting to the paint, they can shoot a little, but really, if you get them out of the paint, you know, you can really have a chance. And the Raptors using that 2-3 zone really did work really well. Nick Nurse also, that was the time he won his first coaching challenge.
Oh, that's right.
And he started, like, hugging everybody. Like, it was hilarious. Like, he hugged Sergio Scariolo, he hugged Kyle Lowry, he hugged Nate Bjorkgren, who was like, yo, come on, we got to coach this team. Like, and then, like, Nick even hugged, like, a random Laker fan sitting courtside.
Yeah, it wasn't Jack Nicholson, right? It was a random.
No, I don't know who it was. I mean, he's probably famous because he's...
This guy's probably like a 9-time like Emmy winner, and we're just like some random.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, says here he's...
That was the first statement win, because I remember they got beat by Milwaukee too, right? When they went into Milwaukee, like really early in the season.
Yep.
And I think there was just a lot of questions of like, all right, the Raptors are beating up these bad teams, and this was their first big win against a winning team.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. Also, big shout out to Pascal too, because even though he went 9-25, the amount of energy he expended during that game, it's actually kind of just a reminder of like how much the fatigue factor for Pascal wore on him, and also maybe if the groin injury that he suffered later in this year against the Pistons sort of took something off of him. But he was just going all out, man. Like, in the fourth quarter, getting up to block LeBron at the rim, and then leading the fast break and being the first one at the rim the other way. Like, that kind of stuff is... That's kind of stuff is where Pascal's at his best. And I feel like, you know, if he can learn to manage his energy a little better, it'll be great. Number five on this list. This one also has a chance to go higher, to be honest, because just of the moment. But Raptors beating the Pelicans on ring night, 130-122 in overtime. What were your memories? What was your day like on ring night? We almost never got to our seats.
Yeah, no, I remember I was running with Keyshawn around the arena. Shout out Keyshawn.
Yeah.
We were trying to find the best angle. Well, he was trying to find the best angle to take photos during the ring ceremony. And I was just there to, you know, upload the photos with a ring emoji caption. As he was taking them.
You get the big bucks, baby.
it was a beautiful night. Like, honestly, when I saw this list, I don't really remember much from the game.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they went into overtime. I think Fred hit some pretty big shots. Like, Fred and Pascal had the big games.
Yeah.
But man, that night was just a blur because we were, you know, well, personally, I was just dealing with a lot of like the championship stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't remember much about the game.
All right. Well, first off, Jody Meeks and Eric Morlin were there.
Jody Meeks was there. I remember seeing him courtside. I was like, yo, what's going on? Yeah.
You're like, oh man, is Nick gonna play you again?
Jody Meeks really made sure that he got the ring. Oh, that was also the night they gave Nav the ring at halftime. Yeah, there was a lot going on. Right. There was a lot going on.
And you couldn't get popcorn because you had to go photograph Nav's ring?
I love how my whole work process is being exposed right now.
Yeah, you couldn't grab your second media dog of the day.
Dan Tillman's like, when this is all over, maybe we don't need Alex.
You're like, yeah, you know what? Honestly, I could have tweeted one of Keyshawn's pictures with a ring.
This is going to be the most costly podcast of my career, but, you know, it's fine. You know what I remember from this, too? And, like, looking at some of these early box scores, remember when Mark couldn't make one shot inside the paint for, like, 6 weeks?
Yeah, actually, he came out with a 3. He came out with a 3-3.
Oh, yeah, you started assigning him the triple-triples.
Yo, he had the pocket threes, man. This guy looked like Daniel Negreanu.
Mark. Well, you're back on your bullshit, eh?
I know you're watching Poker After Dark.
Yo, shout out Antonio Esfandiari, man. The new Arun.
What? I don't even understand that reference. I mean, I know who he is, but...
Actually, that's what Amit looks like now that he shaved off his beard.
Oh, yeah, actually, a little bit, yeah. Shout out Amit, man. Yo, Quarantine got him acting different, man, right now.
Yeah, quarantine gets to people, you know? Yeah, but it's a good look, man. Shout out Amit.
Yeah. Ring night was great. So Jody Meeks and Eric Marlin were there. Pascal and Freddie, both with 34 points. Remember coming into this game, people were like, man, is Pascal Siakam really a max contract player? Like, we don't know. Like, he only averaged like 17 points a game last year. What if he wears down without Kawhi being around? And then Pascal shuts up all the doubters with 34 points and 18 rebounds. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That shit was crazy. And then also just like, you know, a super geeky thing, but I reread my 10 things in preparation for this. And yeah, the Raptors ran a hammer play to get Fred an open three to force overtime, which is, you know, you have one point guard on one side of the floor running towards the baseline and then throwing a baseline pass across to the shooter who's coming, you know, behind a screen. And basically they run that same action every single time they need a basket after a timeout. That's when their go-to play, and it worked really well. Fred hit the corner three to force overtime. I also remember saying to you that, you know, after seeing the banner and seeing the rings and just how emotional it was, that I was never going to complain about things with the Raptors. Like, I these things are trivial. Like, I've seen, I know better now. And then, like, 2 minutes into the game, I was complaining about JJ Redick's privilege.
Yes, that was actually in my notes. I have a note here that says white privilege will do. You definitely were hammering. Speaking of hammer play, you were hammering home the white privilege jokes all night long.
What was the joke?
Kept yelling.
It was no joke, baby.
Yeah, JJ Redick's my guy, but we gotta keep that on the low.
Yeah, he's your guy? Wow.
Yeah. All right. Anyways. Yeah, so, no, that was a great night. No, you know, I'm going to be the guy who says it, though. You know, it would have been super cool if Kawhi was there. That's all. If Kawhi was still with the team.
Yeah, it would have been. It definitely would have been. But, you know, they still got the win regardless. And number six on this list. Again, a lot of great options here. I'm going with Raptors, Pacers, Raptors 119, Pacers 118 at
yes.
Scotiabank Arena. No Marcus Gasol, no Norman Powell. They were, at the time, going for the franchise record, which was... 11 wins. They had already done that in 2018. They were already on 11. They were going for win number 12. However, they were down 10 with 2 minutes and 27 seconds left. And then they come back. I mean, the play of the game, obviously, is Serge Ibaka with that 3 over Domantas Sabonis. Yep.
And the defense at the end, though, on that last possession.
Yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, you know, huge win personally for me because – I predicted the 12-game win streak.
Oh, that's right.
And wow, how quickly you youngins forget. No, but with 2 minutes left, I was definitely in my notes app drafting up a statement because a lot of people on Twitter was waiting for the streak to end to call me out, so I had to get ahead of the narrative.
Yeah.
So honestly, the last 2 minutes was just a blur. And again, remind me if I'm wrong. Did they use a full court press on that on the last 2 minutes?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, and it worked again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like what's more impressive, honestly? Like, it's kind of comparable. Like, coming back from 30 with 12 minutes left and 10 with, like, 2 minutes left, it's kind of ridiculous, too,
it's,
you know?
It's incredible, man. Yeah, wow, geez. Yeah, what was your statement going to be because I remember seeing you draft that, you know?
I was just going to apologize for everyone, you know, if they had put a parlay.
You were going to put the picture of Adam Sandler, Adam Sandler in the back seat.
Yeah, in the back seat. Honestly, man, yeah, I promised to watch at least one movie during this shutdown.
All right.
So I can make some new memes. But yeah, the last 2 minutes was just a blur. Like, Serge hitting that three was just ridiculous. Because wasn't the scarf stuff happening during this time?
This was also the game Serge wore the big scarf.
Yes, he wore the big scarf.
That's
and
right.
Then he hits the game-winning three.
Yep.
Falling down.
Oh, my God. What a season, man.
30-point game. 30 points. Kyle had 32. Pascal, 25.
Yep.
That was a big
research.
Three.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, no, so this is what NBA box scores look like, eh? Haven't looked at one since I subscribed to the Toronto Star in 1993. Remember the holidays? The holidays were just like making, well, it was mostly Justin, I think. But they made every shot.
Justin Holiday and Doug McDermott combined for 9 three-pointers. The Pacers were at a franchise record. A season record of how many threes they had made. And I remember, I think Wolfon was at this game. You know, Wolfon's a big Pacers fan.
Yeah.
It must have been heartbreaking for him. Yeah, but I'm not sure if he was at this game or maybe it was on Twitter, but you know, he was just like, well, the Raptors keep leaving them open. They're really good shooters. And I'm like, bro, we're talking about Justin Holiday, man. Like, come on.
He's wearing a sleeveless Hoosiers jersey while tweeting this.
Yeah, he's playing point guard as TJ McConnell, who is also having a great game this game.
My favorite Wolf on story, and I'll be quick, is the Clippers game when Kawhi came back. You know, everybody got to their seats on press row early just to see Kawhi get his ring. And as Kawhi is doing this, Wolfon pulls up his CMS and is like, yo, I got to edit this Pacers piece and get it published. Like, that is the Hoosier level dedication that this man has. This was also the game where you first brought to me the comparison of Miles Turner to Andrea Bargnani, if you want to speak on this.
Yeah. Well, he has a lot of Bargnani tendencies this game. If you go back and look at it, he did not... it just was not an impressive game for Miles Turner. What can I say? You know, Sabonis has already kind of surpassed him a little bit, but I'm just buying time because I want to pull up the box score for the real numbers here. Miles Turner shot 3 of 6 in 25 minutes with 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, minus 12, 6 points. This is a classic 2011 Bargnani stat line. Didn't really play much defense because, as I mentioned, Serge had 30. And pretty much all he did was shoot bad threes. And you're just like, yo, what are you doing? You're 7 feet tall. Like, do you have any post moves? And, you know, he doesn't. Also, somehow he was on Team USA last year. What was Greg Popovich doing, man? Why were your big men Miles Turner and Brook Lopez?
He also didn't call timeout at the end of, like, Game 7 against Denver. But anyways.
Wow. Yeah. So a great win there. Again, the comeback is the best part, man. The comeback was amazing. But... you know, just as a bonus, the Raptors then played the Pacers again 2 days later in Indiana, and they also won that one. That was also in strong consideration, but I don't want to have that many Pacers games on this list. Number 7, the Jazz. So the Raptors beat the Jazz 130-110. No Kyle Lowry, no Serge Ibaka. They're up 40 at halftime. And that's why I put this on the list, because 40 points at halftime is absurd. They were up 77-37.
Dude, they got outscored by almost 20 points in the third quarter, and it was still a blowout.
It's unbelievable, man.
Yeah, that game was weird. I mean, obviously, the 40-point lead in the first half was pretty unprecedented.
Yep.
But I remember it felt like it was kind of they were kind of cursed by that game, because like they played they lost against Miami and Houston, and then they went to Philly and lost.
Yep.
But yeah, that I don't know what else to add. I mean, we've pwned the Utah Jazz this season, so
no, we haven't really owned the Jazz this year, man. But
yeah. just say pwned. Yeah.
No one says pwned, man. I actually I don't think I've said pwned since like 2007, and that's when I was saying like leet and stuff.
With like, I gotta bring pwned back.
1337. I was saying that shit. And spelling boobless on a calculator. Like,
holy shit.
I don't want to bring...
This guy was flipping over his Texas Instrument.
Yeah, I don't want to bring this era back, man. Where I was on MSN Messenger like all day. Like literally all day, running game MSN Messenger.
any specific moments from this for you?
Yeah, so Pascal, 35 points in this one. Just absolutely unstoppable. Like the pull-up three at the end of halftime... Just like draining the clock and then pulling up for three to make it a 40-point lead, it was nuts. Like the Jazz just had no answers for him. And also the funny thing is the context here is that Siakam was coming off that Orlando game where he shot 4 of 22, was just like absolutely terrible. Norm Powell has to carry the team that night, and the Raptors escape Orlando with a win despite scoring like 15 points. So Siakam was really struggling, and coming into this game, you know, we were, you know, at the pregame Nick Nurse press conference in that sweaty room. And Nick's like talking about how, you know, every time Pascal struggles, he comes back with a big game, and then bam, Pascal is 35. So, it's just a great win, man. Just a great win. Again, 40 at halftime is absurd. Like I'd never seen anything like it. It was a Sunday night. It was all chill. Nobody was stressed when I think the Jazz, like, scored like 15 straight or something. It was something dumb where they just cut immediately into the lead. But this team, man,
that was a great win.
Yeah. Okay, number 8. I got the Raptors beating the Timberwolves 137-126 for the Raptors. This is at Scotiabank. I was not here for this one. I was in Mexico City. It was the first. Yeah, it was the night I got there. Because my flight was at 1:00. I landed. Whatever. I landed. It was my first night there, and I went out to have some like seafood. And then afterwards, I was like, you know what? I got to pull up this game. And yeah, I really am happy about that decision because this game was really great. I mean, the contact series of the Raptors set the franchise record and a Canadian sporting record, Canadian professional sporting record, with their 15th straight win. No Serge, no Mark. You were at this game, I think. What was the scene like?
No, it was great, but you know, just gotta, you know, show some respect to the Wolfpack and other teams that have won more than 15 plus games.
Okay,
right?
Okay, Arun.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was the game. You know, OG had a huge game.
25.
Yeah, 25. He was like 10 of 13 from the field. Yeah, and that was. I don't know if this was the Timberwolves game or the other one where like Carl Anthony Towns just like wouldn't stop complaining.
Yo, this is the one.
And this he just, you know, it's just all the signs of a losing player.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it just, yeah. And this was also D'Angelo Russell's first game with the Timberwolves.
Right, right, right. Oh, yo, this is when the Timberwolves said, the coach said, hey, it doesn't our record doesn't matter. We're 1-0.
Yeah, yeah, they're 1-0. Now they're 1-1. Yeah, that was high level propaganda.
No, that's crazy. Man.
To say that you're 1-0 is ridiculous. But yeah, like this was like the peak of the Raptors season, the win streak, and just, you know, they would always just beat these teams up. Like it was a pretty close game, I think, until the third quarter. But like, you never feel like the Raptors were gonna lose these games. And yeah. They really, outside of that game that they blew against Charlotte at home, like, I actually can't remember any bad losses against, like, bad teams.
Yeah. No, it's super rare. It's super rare. But honestly, it is kind of crazy because you think about it. Carl Anthony Towns, you know, despite, you know, all the things about him, like, he's still, like, one of the most talented centers in the NBA, at least offensively. And the Raptors didn't have Serge Ibaka. They didn't have Marc Gasol. So they started Rondé freaking Jefferson, who's 6'5",
yeah,
against Karl Anthony Towns. And guess what? Rondé outplays him. Rondé with 21 points on 8 of 13 shooting, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, a plus 20 to Karl Anthony Towns, who was 5 of 13 and a minus 7. Unbelievable stuff, man. Rondé actually has factored into some really great moments this season. It's just he's been bad otherwise.
and this game also made me think, I can't believe we had a debate about D'Angelo Russell versus Pascal.
Oh my God.
For most improved.
That's right. Yeah.
Last season, I mean, Pascal was a monster in this game. 14 for 21, 6 3-pointers.
Wow.
34 points. And like D'Angelo is on his third team now since the end of last season. And, you know, he's a very skilled offensive player, but, you know, I think anyone would take Pascal in that argument right now.
Listen, if you get traded for Andrew Wiggins, it's not a good thing.
No, that says a lot about you.
It says a lot about you, man.
If Steve Kerr is like, yeah, he was just never really going to work out here with Steph and Clay, you know?
Yeah. It's like we'd literally rather have Andrew Wiggins.
They just rented him the practice facility for 4 months. That was wild.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this game was great, man. Also, I really had to watch this from Mexico City. It was, my girlfriend was not thrilled necessarily that,
I mean, she knew that's the deal.
She was understanding. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I did leave, while the Raptors had won 14 straight. I mean, it's not like I planned my trip around this cause you know, I planned it well ahead of time. But yeah, no, it was cool though. It was cool. It was, it was worth it. We had a great trip otherwise.
I was, you're pulling up Expedia right now.
Flights are cheap right now, baby.
I know. I was gonna take a week off in mid March, and you know, that was a bad call, so it didn't happen.
Wow.
So here we are.
Now you're off right now, though.
Yeah, I guess technically we're all off. Patreon link coming soon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Support Too Much Hoops on Patreon. This is a quick plug in the middle of the show.
Oh yeah. Shout out to Brad.
Yeah. Shout
it's
out
Brad, right?
Yeah. Shout out Brad.
Brad's a good dude.
Brad Vermutt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Sounds like a knuckleball pitcher.
Yeah, actually, though. No, for real. Like, this, this man throwing 60 miles per hour for sure.
Oh, man.
He's a loogie.
Oh, come on, man. How secret of a baseball head are you, man?
No, I used to really be into baseball, man. Catch me on Fangraphs.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I was on Fangraphs, Rotographs, all the graphs.
Do you know Bill James, the guy who invented like sabermetrics?
Yeah, I read his book.
he's been like super racist on Twitter.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Wow.
He's like, growing up, if a baseball player was a little off or a kid in the playground was a little off, we'd say he was a Chinese baseball guy or something. But he said something.
What does that mean?
He's like, if someone was a little off, we'd call him Chinese. And I was like, what is going on? I'm pulling up the tweet right now. When I was a kid, the term Chinese was used for anything that was just a little bit off. A very short home run, such as at the Polo Grounds, was called a Chinese home run. We had a type of tree that looked like an elm but wasn't. It was called a Chinese elm.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, this is a real tweet from March 20th.
Damn.
And the ratio on this is 14 retweets. First of all, I'm going to look up those 14 people. 14 retweets. One of those probably you. 14 retweets. No. 33 faves and 405 replies.
That's wild, man. Why did he share this? You got some things you just got to take with you.
Because it was a discussion with Lindsay Adler, who covers the Yankees for The Athletic. She's a really great writer, actually.
Okay,
about Donald Trump calling it the Chinese virus.
Word. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And Bill James basically was arguing that calling people racist because they refer to a virus by the place it erupted is not a generalization, you don't think? It's crazy out there. Damn. Right now.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, man, it's not a fun time. It's not a fun time in general because we got to stay home and stuff, and going outside is like really, you got to really do some preparations to go outside to even go to the grocery store. But especially as Asian Americans right now, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's a tough
one. And we're obviously one. Like honestly, if staying home, is gonna help, end this pandemic, flatten the curve and stuff. Like we're pretty privileged to just be at home.
And have
everything that we need.
That is true. Yeah, that is true.
Just in case, if you get canceled, I'll take over this podcast.
Oh, okay, great. You're already volunteering? Yeah. That's good. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to do top 10 Rondé layups.
Yo, actually, I'd listen to that one. I don't even want to hear you describe anything. I just want to hear the audio from the rim. Yeah. Just like you hear sounds you never heard before,
Oh, my God. All right, what's next?
Yeah, so number 8 with Timberwolves. Number 9, this one is a little, it's more of a circumstance kind of thing because it wasn't necessarily a great win, quote unquote.
Sure.
But this was in San Antonio, the Raptors winning 110-106. The circumstances here were that Kobe passed literally an hour before this. Like the news came out that Kobe died in a plane crash. It was just a crazy scene because it wasn't really sure if games were going to be played. People were calling for the season to be canceled or whatever, which, I don't think those same people are calling for it now, man. But I thought it was just really cool because not even necessarily the game itself, because there were some good moments, but whoever it was who came up with the idea to have the back-to-back 24-second shot clock violations as a tribute to Kobe was really, really brilliant. And that kind of set off a chain where the rest of the league, the games that took place that night on Sunday, because there's a lot of games usually on Sunday, everyone basically copied that and sort of went with either that one or the 8-second backcourt violation to honor Kobe. How did you cover this game? This game was a weird game to cover for sure.
Yeah, I think just seeing the news, I saw the Kobe news when I saw TMZ tweet it, and I just couldn't believe it, right? Like I checked probably like everyone, like 9 different ways to make sure that it wasn't a hoax. And honestly, I was surprised that they played because you could tell, from what they were showing, the players were in tears and they were obviously in shock, just really distraught even when they were at the warm-up line.
Yeah.
And, for the game to go on was pretty weird. And, it just didn't feel like, any of the players are really super into the game. It turned out to be a pretty competitive game.
Yeah, for sure.
I know Pascal raced out to, I think, he had 20 points at least in the first quarter?
He had a Raptors record, 25 points in the first quarter. That's the most points scored by any Raptors player in a single quarter in franchise history. And you think about it, Raptors got some pretty good scorers, Vince, DeMar.
Mike James. Yeah, Mike Kawhi, James.
Mike James.
Yeah. Hubert Davis.
Jalen Rose.
Donyell Marshall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sonny Williams. But it was a... It was a blowout, and then the Spurs came roaring back in the second half, and the Raptors pulled it out. But, yeah, I think just based on the circumstances, like you mentioned, and the tribute was honestly a very, like, just a brilliant idea.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Especially when, you know, you realize they probably had like, what, half an hour to come up with that?
No, seriously. It was like everyone came out for warm-ups and then everyone back to the locker room. Super strange scene. And it was just a weird because, you know, even though it was, again, just strictly speaking from the quality of basketball, it was a very good game. It was a tight game. The Raptors had lost to the Spurs, you know, about like a week before that. They're going to San Antonio, not an easy place to play, even though San Antonio's not that good this year. And, you know, it's a tight game. They're making some big plays, you know, Fred with the big three. You know, Kyle Lowry makes a brilliant play to secure the win. Pascal makes a couple of plays. And it's a great finish. But even though all that's happening, literally not an ounce of emotion from anybody. It was like they were playing 2K or something, you know what I mean? Like, just very, very flat faces as they were doing great things on basketball court. Because, again, it was just one of those things where it was just completely overshadowed. And, yeah, it was definitely a strange game to cover for sure.
Yeah, what a weird season, man. Between the China stuff at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Kobe passing, obviously, and now this pandemic.
Yeah.
Man, Adam Silver might be just like giving himself a raise after this, you know?
Wow. I was going to say, the China stuff at the start of the year almost you know, broke running back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can't wait for this to be on YYZ Sports in 6 months. The real story of how running back almost never even began.
Will, the CCP bootlicker.
Oh my God. I'm just saying, man, we went to some establishments where, you know, I heard about your views on the world.
What? No. Redacted.
Yeah, no, I'm redacting it. Well, you're the one who put my face on a propaganda poster, man. Yo.
No, they're never letting us back in, man. Never.
Oh my God. I still want to see my relatives in Hong Kong. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And that's going to be so hard to find when I tell you to delete it because there's no words on it. It's just. How are you even going to be able to scrub them for me?
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see.
Anyways, you think Silver has smoked at least one pack of American Spirits this year?
Yo, honestly, man, Silver, wherever you are, I'm hoping to send you the rest of the American Spirits I have from my trip to Portland, where I randomly picked up American Spirit. You know, because you need it, man. You need it. You deserve it. Honestly, you deserve it.
Yeah,
he's had a tough year, but I mean, you know. Number 10. Anyway, back to the list. So the 10th best win of the Raptors season to date, and hopefully it continues. But it has to be the last game the Raptors played. In Utah, the Raptors win 101-92. No Marc Gasol, no Fred VanVleet. And then 90 seconds of the game, Norman Powell, who was fresh off averaging 28 points per game to win Player of the Week for the Eastern Conference, goes down with an injury. And they still win. Again, does the common theme throughout all of this is heart of a champion. Like, all of these are heart of a champion type wins. The circumstances here were just absolutely unbelievable. Gobert, I mean, look, it's unfortunate that he had COVID, but damn, we gotta separate that to go back and slander Gobert retroactively because
we're separating the two.
He played like he had COVID in this one, man. This guy,
Serge dominated him.
Yo, Serge had 27-13, and Rudy Gobert had 6 points. And Gobert was pulling, like, he was getting frustrated because, like, the Raptors, like, schemed specifically to get Gobert, you know, out of the actual play. They were really dropping back and taking away, you know, basically all he can do is dunk. Like, basically, whatever James Harden said about Giannis, that's what can really be said about Gobert.
Oh, man.
And, you know, Gobert was just bad all night, getting frustrated, and then he started pulling dirty moves. And that's why this game really sticks out to me, and that's why this Gobert stuff sticks in so hard, because remember when Serge got him up in the air with a pump fake, and then Serge went up for the layup, and Gobert went underneath them, put his elbow into Serge's ribs while Serge was airborne and started to stay down for a while. That was a dirty play. Then he tries to fight OG at the end. He runs through OG's back and, you know, whatever. They didn't end up fighting. And then even when I walked back through this, so Gobert only had one made basket all night because he only had 6 points. You're not going to have a lot of made baskets with 6 points. But the one basket that he made actually occurred when he kneed Serge Ibaka in the calf and knocked Serge over, and then he got open for a dunk, which is all you can do offensively. So, you know, it was just one of those games where it was real, you know, just frustrating from that perspective. But it was also just a great game for the Raptors. You know, Serge, Kyle, Pascal all had great moments.
Yeah, and then this was, you know, end of a 5-game road trip, second night of a back-to-back for them because they had just played Sacramento and, you know, talk about like schedule losses and stuff. You expect them to, you know, you wouldn't blame them if they lost this game, just went home 3-2. But that's just not the type of team, you know, this team was or is. And, you know, yeah, it's sad too to talk about this game, just knowing that this was when the season got, you know, abruptly shut down. You know, felt like, you know, with Fred, I think Fred was scheduled to come back, and then Norm's injury, re-injury here, wasn't that serious.
I was going to say, I saw this man bowling, like, the next day. Like, I was like, this guy's fine.
And, you know, Mark had played the night before, and they sat him out for this one. You know, just, yeah, no, I don't know, man. Just really miss what, you know, what the season would have been like right now for the Raptors.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I mean, yeah, they were really on the cusp of getting everyone back, you know, and... And yeah, like some of the games that we're having, like Serge with 27-13, like that's incredible. First off, from Serge Ibaka to be doing that, and he's been so good all year as a starter. Kyle Lowry with 21 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, phenomenal. He was amazing throughout the road trip. Kyle Lowry was, and then Pascal 27 points, career high 8 assists in that game, and he had 3 incredible turnaround jumpers that were like, man, if he could do this consistently, like, you know, that's some superstar type stuff right there. So. Those are your top 10 wins. So to recap, number one, the 30-point comeback against the Mavericks. Number two, Joel Embiid going scoreless against the Sixers. Number three, revenge against the Celtics with Pat McCollum was getting a triple-double. Number four, upsetting LeBron with Chris Boucher and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Number five, ring night against the Pelicans. Number six, you know, Serge Ibaka's game winner against the Pacers. Number seven, the 40-point halftime lead against the Utah Jazz. Number eight, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson outplays Karl Anthony Towns to beat the Timberwolves. Number nine, Raptors beating the Spurs and coming out with a tribute to honor Kobe Bryant and his passing. And then number 10, you know, just the last win of the season. It was really good, man. Honestly, like, it's unbelievable that they've only played 3/4 of a season and like they've had so many really, really good, memorable games. Like, if I just told you any of these small anecdotes, you would have remembered everything that came in that game. And you can't take that for granted, man. It's honestly, there's some teams that probably struggle to even get to 10 wins, period.
Yeah, no, this is a special team, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously health and all that stuff and what's happening in the world comes first, but really hope there's some way for this season to restart. I mean, I feel like Mark might need 2 weeks to work himself back. So
well, you're saying Serge Ibaka is not calling Marc Gasol and telling him
Marc Gasol checking to see if LCBO is still essential business. But
Marc Gasol's at home right now making very intricate tapas.
Yeah, no, shout out to Mark. But yeah, really want to see, just want to see what this team can do. You know, obviously it's not going to happen in the setting that we're, you know, expecting, 82-game season and then the playoffs. But I guess that's a whole different conversation of, you know, how that's going to affect each team. But man, you know, just with the guys going to free agency and stuff, would just really love to see this team have a chance at making whatever a playoff run would look like now.
Yeah, definitely. And then just to end the podcast, I actually had 10 other wins that just missed the cut. And no, I'm not even exaggerating.
You're really squeezing out this content right now.
Well, listen, there's nothing else to do. can't wait till I recap every single one of these games again.
Let's do 10 top 10 losses next time.
Bro, number one is when they lost to the Hornets, man. That game was terrible. And then Terrence Davis didn't foul. No, Terrence Davis didn't foul. That was the game against OKC that was pretty bad. But whatever, OKC is a good team. The game, yeah. Who commits the foul? Oh, Rondae. Rondae fouling Terry Rozier before the ball got inbounded.
The home loss to the Spurs was pretty bad, too.
Yeah, the loss to Portland with Melo.
Yeah, they should have beaten Portland. Getting blown out by the Clippers.
Getting Christmas Day getting ruined.
Yeah, well, I guess we just did that podcast.
Yo, the Miami game when they missed like 40 three-pointers.
Oh, yeah, when they scored like 57 points. Yeah. I guess that's that podcast.
The losses are memorable too, because they're so few. But anyway, here are the next top 10. Here are the next 10 that missed the cut in terms of wins for the Raptors. I'm gonna go through them quickly. 114 Raptors, 106 Blazers. This is on the road. Do you remember this game?
Yeah, this was when they didn't have a bunch of their guys right at the end of the road trip.
Yep, and. This game,
I could say that for any game.
I was gonna say that is absolutely true, but that the biggest thing from this game was that Fred VanVleet had 30 points and Damian Lillard had 9. Like, that's nuts to think about, man. Dame Lillard had like a 600-plus game streak of scoring double-digit points, and the Raptors held him to 9 points.
Yeah, that's wild.
Raptors 132, Hornets 96. This is at home. Only thing memorable about this game is the fact that the Raptors set a franchise record with 40 assists. Just think about that. 40 assists is a lot, man. There are a lot of games in the Dwayne Casey pound the rock era where they struggle to get to 20. 40.
Yeah, no, beautiful game.
Another game against the Hornets. Raptors win 112 to 110 in overtime against the Hornets. Do you remember this one?
Yeah, this was Terrence Davis talking shit to Terry Rozier.
Yep. And Serge Ibaka committed the same foul Rondé committed.
Oh, yeah, that's
also against the Hornets.
That's right.
To force overtime. And then Serge was incredible in overtime. Him and Terrence Davis carried them throughout the win.
And then Serge was like, you better not eat a donut after this.
Yo, Terrence Davis was like, bro, why are you fouling people before the inbound, man? Another one here. Raptors beating the Hawks 122 to 117. This was on Martin Luther King Day. Do you remember anything from this game?
Oh man, see, I didn't do research for these. This game got really tight at the end. The Raptors blew it.
Yeah, they almost choked. But Norman Powell. This is the first like Norman Powell going nuts. Like, I mean, there were other games where he had great games, but this was the one where he was taking pull up threes. He was even passing the ball and recording assists. Like, he was doing everything, and he stepped up in this game, and he had some bad turnovers at the end, whatever. But yeah, it was a great game, man. Raptors Sixers, the Raptors winning 107 to 95. This is at home against Sixers. It was just a real solid win, and you know, beating the Sixers is still an accomplishment. Fred was really good in that game. Pascal was decent. They were shorthanded as well, but whatever. This is on here because they beat the Sixers. When they beat the Pacers 115-106, this is in Indiana right after the Raptors. Serge Ibaka hit that three. Do you remember this one? This is also a heart of the championship type of win.
Yeah, I don't remember much about this one. Who stepped up in this one?
This one. Okay, so Kyle Lowry gets hurt.
Okay.
And so they had to finish the game with Terrence Davis. And Terrence Davis made a whole bunch of big threes.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. Kyle went down. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And they had, like, no Norm, like, just no Mark, whatever.
Yeah, they barely, like, held on in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah. No, that was good. Raptors beating the Nets 119-118. This is during the 15-game win streak.
This is OG guarding Caris LeVert at the end.
Yeah. I think that was probably their best defensive play of the season. Was OG coming with that clutch stop. Him asking to guard him was great. Raptors Pacers. Raptors winning 127-81.
This is the Matt Thomas mixtape.
Yeah. I was going to say, I just put this on top 10 just for you.
Yeah, I was actually a little offended to see it just throwing in honorable mentions. But no, Matt Thomas went off. The prophecy was fulfilled.
Yep.
And the Pacers, I know they're like, you know, they were working back, Victor Oladipo working through some things. But beating a team by 40 points at home of that caliber, like, that's pretty impressive.
46 points. And then, of course, they didn't have their full roster either.
No, but, like, that's pretty impressive, though.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. Also, everyone getting Matt Thomas shots at the end was great. You know, why didn't they do that all season?
Yeah, I've been asking that all year. But yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I have Raptors Kings on here. Raptors 118, Kings 113. This is the win on the road in Sacramento. Pascal had to make all these great plays. And I remember this one just because, I mean, it was played, you know, very recently. It was during that West Coast road trip before the season got canceled. But, you know, the Raptors in the last 5 minutes of the game scored on every single possession from the 5 minute mark onward. That's unbelievable. I've never seen a team execute like that, unless it was LeBron versus the Raptors. But whatever, I don't want to talk about that.
We should recap all the LeBron games.
Man.
Let me know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm already miserable enough right now, so I don't need to add more stress.
Hey, the Raptors have pretty good clutch stats this year, right?
Yeah, they were the second best clutch team in the NBA this year, which is kind of amazing when you think about it, because they lost Kawhi, who's their closer.
And they don't feel like a team that, like, always has, like, go-to plays.
No.
They just make it happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's weird.
And it's weird because their offense is much better than their defense in crunch time. Their crunch time is still good. Defense was still good. They were like 10th, but they were second overall in crunch time offense behind OKC, who was actually the 10th game that just missed the cuts. Raptors 130, OKC 121. This was a game that started the 15-game win streak. The Raptors actually went up 30 in this one, played some incredible basketball, and then they gave up the entire lead, and they had to like scrape it out at the end. But
oh yeah, this felt like it was going to be an old school Raptors loss. Yeah. Like it would have been perfect for the Raptors to like come back from 30 and then lose and then blow a 30-point lead. But you know, it's a different Raptors team now.
Never happened, man. So
yeah, it's a different Raptors team.
There you go. We've recapped 20 wins on the Raptors season.
Yeah, you can either listen to this podcast or watch Uncut Gems. I think it's the same length. Maybe make it a double feature. If you sync it together, the final scene is going to happen right now.
Yeah, are you going to rewatch Uncut Gems? You got to make more Uncut Gems content, man. We gotta, Uncut Gems the podcast.
Yeah, I'm available to write about, do 10 things about every scene of Uncut Gems. All right. So let me know.
All right, fair enough.
Patreon coming soon, yeah. Couple of weeks.
Yeah. All right, well, that does it for the podcast. Alex, thanks for coming on. Watch Run It Back. What other things we got to plug?
Yeah, watch Run It Back. And, I don't know. That's it, man. Have some other stories coming. But you know, things are grinding to a halt. Everybody just, you know, wash your hands, stay safe, stay educated, all that stuff. I know it's a weird, difficult time right now, but you know, we'll make it, I think.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Real positive ending, man. We'll make it, I think. Yeah, man, seriously. People, listen, public health is a public duty. It's everyone's duty. Like, we all have to practice extremely, and look, this is a very weird measures right now, but you kind of have to do it, man. You have to do it. You know, this is serious, and we got to really care for, not just like, it's we're even past the point where we thought, okay, this thing was only going to affect like the elderly and immunocompromised people. First off, that should have been enough to make people care, but you know, a lot of people are operating with, you know, we're young, we're not going to be affected. It's affecting everyone right now, and we're seeing what's happened, what has happened throughout East Asia, what's happening right now in Iran, in Italy, in Spain, in France, in the UK, soon come in New York. It's coming. So please take every precaution and just be considerate at this point. You know what I mean? It's not about you. It really isn't. It's not about you.
You're doing you're doing a service for society.
Yeah. Yeah. So wash your hands and cover your mouth. Yeah. Avoid people. If you see me on the street, cross the other way. I won't be offended this time. But you won't see me on the street though.
Yeah, I haven't been outside for like 9 days, but
yeah. Do you have sunlight in your house? What's going on?
I'm trying my best. What is this? Property Brothers now?
Wow, okay, yeah. It could be. Why can't we be Asian Property Brothers?
Shout out Mark Saval too, man. Unfortunately, he had to postpone his wedding. His wedding was supposed to be in 2 weeks. It's now been moved to October on my birthday.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I guess I will be celebrating at his wedding.
You'll have free drinks. It'll be great.
Hopefully society, everything will be back to normal by then. But, we'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow. Yeah, Mark Saval getting the shout out. You better listen to this one.
Yeah, are we doing can we do a two minutes of soccer, Premier League?
Or? Oh, yeah. What's going on? Yeah.
We're in agreement that Liverpool should just be crowned the Premier League champions.
Absolutely. This is even without bias, man. Like I think they needed like 6 more points to clinch. And they were definitely going to do that.
Yeah, and shout outs to our guy, how do you pronounce his name? Jurgen? Jurgen Klopp.
Oh my god.
Did I just get excited? Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah. Oh god.
You know,
shout out to him, man.
Yeah, shout out to him, man. For what reason? It's unclear. I'm on his Wikipedia page right now.
He's an incredible manager, first off.
Yeah.
And also, you know, he's just like there's a great clip of, you know, whatever. Liverpool lost that match, but he was coming into the match against Atletico. And some home fan was trying to like dap him, and he was just like, "Get the hell out of here, man!" basically slapped his hand away. He didn't make contact, and whatever, he just slapped the air. But like, yeah, you know, that's what you need to be doing to everyone right now. All right, anyone who comes up to you right now, you know, just push them away, man.
just don't be around people. Like, if you need to go out for a walk or whatever, I think that's fine, obviously. And you know, yeah. I know there are people that need to be out for, you know, work and certain tasks, but, you know.
People got dogs and stuff, but, like.
Yeah, all of that stuff. But, you know, yeah, I think we're just repeating ourselves now, so.
Yeah. No, but we can't stress it enough, man. Can't stress it enough, so. Yeah. Watch Run It Back again. Actually, you know, if you listen, you got to ration your entertainment, too. During the stretch.
Yeah, just pull up Run It Back and just
watch it again.
Refresh it. Refresh it.
Watch Kawhi Watch, man. Just two idiots. Two idiots saying it was 99.8% chance.
Yeah, watch. Yeah, I'm actually kind of mad because, like, on one of our early Run It Back episodes, we made predictions for the season.
Ooh, that's right.
And I had the Raptors at 55 wins and the number two seed, which seemed like it was pretty much going to hit. Yeah. So
wow,
it's tough. I love to be right. You know. I love to be right.
I think I said that Raptors third seed with like 53 wins or something like that.
So. Yeah, but you would have revised that, I think, like a week and two, like 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you have?
Yeah. We're right after that Lakers win.
Yeah, so. I think what you should do podcast idea wise is that at some point let's just role play and pretend the playoffs have started and we'll do and we'll recap games as if they just happened. And it's like, wow, I can't believe Nick has a Matt Thomas in that Jody Meeks spot.
Wow,
with 1 minute left in the second quarter.
First star for Matt Thomas, who had 48 points against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Gerald Henderson Award goes to DJ Wilson again.
Yeah.
Actually, it would be DiVincenzo for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, seriously, he's had a nice year for Milwaukee, but, you know, man, damn.
Yeah,
life is weird without basketball, man. I mean, that's very trivial in the grand scheme of things, but it's also not, you know?
I got really excited when, you know, TSN and Sportsnet said they were going to do the rewatch.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, this is going to give me some sort of routine every night. Like, I'm just going to relive this. And legit, like, halfway through game one against Orlando, I was like, I really can't do this.
You're like, yo, the Raptors are down 12 to Orlando? No, screw this, man.
No, I was like, this is just, like, there's no value in rewatching this right now.
Yeah. Like, no, I think there's a select number of games you can rewatch there. Like, I think once it gets to the Bucks series, I think it'll be very entertaining to watch, you know, that sweep. And then the Warriors series. But, like, honestly, the Sixers series, you know, I'm sorry, TSN, I'm sorry, Sportsnet. But the Sixers series is not fun to watch, man. It's a grind. It's a dogfight. They have some really, really low lows. Like, game three when they lost in Philly, Embiid's doing the airplane. Siakam's getting bottled up so hard he has to kick Embiid and then hurts himself by kicking Embiid. Like, there's a lot of low moments that you don't necessarily want to revisit, but
we took sports for granted, man. You think about how much sports is on, like, on a day-to-day basis usually. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, and now we have nothing.
Okay, I mean, there's other things in life, but...
Yeah. But it doesn't appear so when media members are starting to rap.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's leave with a recommendation, you know? Even though I've tried to sign off on this podcast, like, six times already.
I know, I'm just
It's still going. It's okay. How much time is going on in this intro? Yeah, so what recommendations? What are you watching? What are you wasting your time with?
I just finished Tiger King on Netflix. It's a documentary about... this is the one everyone's been talking about. It's about this guy named Joe Exotic. He runs a zoo in Oklahoma, and he breeds lions and tigers. It's a dive. Yes, and he gets charged for a plot to murder another cat owner who lives in Florida. It's a 7-part.
Oh yeah, of course,
documentary.
Florida.
Yeah, you. Have
as soon as to, you like, said Florida, this made sense, man.
Yeah, you have to watch this. I've started rewatching Lost. You remember Lost?
Yeah, I do remember Lost. I did not watch it, man. I'm good, dog.
Yeah. You know, working my way through Better Call Saul. You know, just reading... what am I reading right now? Let me see. Reading some Carl Sagan, Cosmos.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm finally starting on Severance. I'm only a couple pages in, but... Yeah, it's... you know, it's fitting for these times. What else? I watched Ugly Delicious season 2, came out on Netflix. So
I watched the first episode when he was doing like baby food, and I was like,
yeah, you're not interested. You're like, no, I want to see I want to see Asian people. I don't want to see your baby.
Yeah, no, I have thoughts about that. Yeah, anyways, yeah, you should check out Severance by Link Ma.
It's yeah, definitely. What else? What else have I been watching, really? Oh, I started watching Nora from Queens. It's okay.
Oh, that's with our girl Awkwafina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna try to rewatch some shows. I think I might rewatch Breaking Bad as well.
Nah, man. I felt like Breaking Bad is really not rewatchable, just because once you know the twists, that's all there was to it. Like, you're not gonna rewatch for the show, quality as you would with like Wire or Sopranos. But
wow, I love how
that's probably a hot take that people are gonna kick.
We're just Chris Ryan and Andy Greenwald.
This is my transition to becoming Bill Simmons. you can be Ryan Rosillo. We can. You got to go to the gym.
Yeah. It's like I really miss the gym.
Yeah. So
I actually ordered like a bike. Kind of bike on Amazon, but
okay. Look at this man with the Peloton money. Okay, wow.
No, but okay, chill. Patreon coming soon. But now because I don't know if you know, but like Amazon and I think some other businesses are now classifying like purchases as essential and non-essential. So my it was supposed to arrive on Monday, but now it's like been moved to like a month from now.
I mean, you'll survive, man. You'll survive without this freaking stationary bike.
You know, I was just inspired by Surge, you know.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Surge, if you need a Zoom link, man, let us know, man. We're available.
Yo, Surge, listen, I know you're, you know that chair that Surge does all his FaceTimes in, you know, that was also the chair he sat in when me and him were on the podcast.
Yeah. When he was like, what? Another Chinese reporter from Yahoo's coming again?
They're like, wait, you didn't get it the first time? What happened?
He's like, wait, were you on How Hungry Are You or not? Yeah, why are you asking me about it?
He's like, why are you better dressed than me in my house?
Yo, we still need to expose you for making fun of one of Surge's pregame fits.
Yo, come on. No, we got to expose those shoes, all right? Those red velvet shoes, they were not it. I stand by this.
Oh, man. All right, man. Appreciate this 45-minute outro.
Yeah. There you go. So thanks, everyone, for listening. This week, actually, on the Rappers Over Everything podcast, I'm actually we have a special guest coming tomorrow where we're going to discuss more about Canada's decision to withdraw from the upcoming 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, which also appeared to be now getting pushed back, according to one IOC member, Mr. Dick Pound.
Yeah, Richard Pound.
Why does he insist on going with Dick Pound? But you
know, Richard
whatever.
LB. Yeah.
Get out of here, man. All right. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to Alex for coming on the show. Watch Running Back again. And there's more content to come.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.